Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you are hearing an echoey sound, it's because we are in a new space, a new frontier.
A new frontier. I like this.
Renee Stubbs has finally been wrangled into an office.
A regular job from Monday to Friday. For the first time in my life, Caitlin, I do know now what TGIF means.
Yes.
Because seriously, I didn't even know what TGIF means. Oh, thank God it's Friday.
You thought it was like only a restaurant.
I thought it was just like where you went on Fridays and had dinner. You know, I was just what's the big deal?
What is a weekend? Is that...
What is the weekend? Well, I mean, think about it. For me, as a professional tennis player, I wanted to work on the weekend because that meant I was in the semis or finals of a tournament. So I was like, yeah, let's bring it on, right? And then, of course, as a coach, you want to be working on the weekend because your players in the semis or finals. And as a television analyst, of course I want to be working the weekends because that means I'm working the big matches. So now I'm like, I ain't working the weekends. You're for like, the rest of the year.
You're going to be a regular Norma Rae. Yeah. You're going to be like, not 1 minute more. I'm paying my overtime.
Yeah.
So we've danced around this a little bit.
Yeah.
It is incredibly exciting for me to see you, my dear friend, who has been heretofore untamable, bringing your talents to a regular daily live sports program that is going to debut in a few hours' time here on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
This is Amazon's new sports network, and you have a daily show.
I do.
What can you say about it?
Yeah, it's called The Power Hour. I did not name the show, but it is hosted by me. And I don't know, I'm getting used to The Power Hour. I mean, come on.
I kind of like it. You're just going to do your power poses before you start.
Yeah, throw up a bicep curl and you know, something. But
just do some chin-ups and intimidate your guests.
It's from 5 to 6 every weekday on Prime Video. So people are like, how do you find it? I'm like, do you have Prime Video on your phone or on your TV at home? And if you have either of those little babies, and most people have Prime, you just push on there, and 5 to 6 every day, you'll see my little chucklehead on there talking. We're really going to be tennis centric. We're going to be women's sports centric, and we're going to, you know, pick and dive into some, you know, funny stories or sports stories around the globe, or, you know, that happening in the United States as well. And you'll just get a bit of a spin. We're doing a little section called Inside the Mind Of, because me as a former tennis player and coach, and I kind of, you know, could, it's easy for me to dive into the mind of some of these athletes or, you know, organizations or coaches or whatever, and sort of give my spin on it. And you know, we finish it off with our favorite word of the day, which is ding dong. We finish off with ding dong of the day, who basically had the biggest screw up of the day, or they effed up something on a field or in a game or in a tennis court or something. And then I get to name them ding dong of the day. So that's how we end the show.
Perfect.
Perfect for me.
There's a lot of ding dongs.
There are going to be 5 ding dongs every week. Let's just hope you're not one of them.
Well, hopefully I already got my
ding-dong. Well, you could have been. You could have been my first ding-dong of the day. Because Caitlin, ladies and gentlemen, has the biggest whopper of a bump on her nose and head because she walked into a pole yesterday.
Yep.
Why did you walk into a pole?
Well, I was talking with Peter, my son. We were walking by some pickleball courts, and I was trying to film them because I was so annoyed that this entire blacktop in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, an entire blacktop.
Which could be tennis courts.
Adjacent to a bustling tennis facility. I played there yesterday. I actually played there today. 7 courts indoors. They've bubbled it. The next available court at that facility at McCarran Park
is next year.
Basically next year. It's in 3 weeks. the pickleball courts that these people were so insistent, this fastest growing sport, quote unquote.
Nobody on them.
Zero people
on
them.
On a Sunday where the weather was beautiful.
And you're like, okay, cool. This, again, is the most pretend shit ever. It's crypto finance. Now that crypto's in the tank, let's see how long their PR campaign lasts.
FTX'd it.
Exactly.
It got FTX'd.
Let's see if pickleball gets FTX'd. So while I'm doing this and just generally sowing a malevolent spirit, I think some instant karma came back and bopped me in the friggin' head because the pole
sticking out. In the face, not in the head.
In the face. I walked up and I just saw my son's face and he just like cowled in horror. And I put my hand on my head to see if I was bleeding. And I got a piece of scalp with like a hair still on it. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
You were really pissed about the pickleball.
I was like, man, what could make me not pay attention to where I was putting one foot in front of the other? I guess my anger towards
Empty pickleball courts.
So maybe it'll just be a lesson to me to try to keep it positive.
Stop glowing with joy of seeing nobody on a pickleball court. And with the tennis courts not being available for 3 friggin' weeks in Brooklyn. So you tell me what's the more popular sport. Give me a break.
So I do have, well, I have to address something controversial though about your new show.
Oh.
I'm very excited for you. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And please, every one of you that love this little podcast that we've done for a number of years now, please tune in because you'll get my same personality. It'd just be a few less swear words.
What about the Caitlin fans? Where are they?
Well, Caitlin's fans, you know, you can still just tune in here. No, we're going to have you on Wednesday.
My fan is going to be
You're going to
really
be a guest of the show, which is basically we're going to pull you in at all times.
Guest of the show. So I do have some controversial, you need to be confronted about something, which is when I was running Racket's account, used to say approved, not approved.
Yeah.
And you might have noticed our good friend
Craig Shapiro has stolen it.
And I don't mind.
It's fine.
It's better in his hands.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, you know.
It was originally from you.
Right. Now, similarly, Liz Cully, our very good friend, who just launched a great show
called,
that you and I were just on.
Cool, cool, cool.
Called Cool, Cool, Cool.
It's a podcast.
Claims that she invented Ding Dong.
What?
I mean, that's what
she said. I've said Ding Dong since I was like 10.
I do remember you calling me Ding Dong
I've called
years.
You Ding Dong. Why? Liz Cully, if you're listening, way before I even met you. Ding dong.
All right, well, we'll just leave that there then.
Yeah.
Now we've addressed something controversial.
Yeah.
We can move on to something else controversial, which is Yelena Ostapenko posting a picture from her favorite sponsor's location, Riga Nails. Yes, Riga, Latvia's most buzzing...
prolific nails center.
Nail salon in dreadlocks.
Oh my God. Like, listen.
Just
an FYI out there, people.
Just don't do it. You can't be in dreadlocks as a white lady.
No.
Especially not a Latvian one. Diana Jastrzemska did blackface a couple years ago. Listen, Eastern Europeans, I know you guys are pumped about getting involved. Just pick your spots and no cultural appropriation, please.
No.
Please.
No.
Please.
It's definitely do not wear dreads if you're white.
Ladies. Okay, so we have got the WTA finals.
Yep.
Concluded.
We do.
We have got the beginning of the ATP finals underway.
Yep.
And we've got in between those two things the Billie Jean King Cup finals. Shout out to your Aussies for making a
final.
Incredibly spirited run. Great performances from Sam Stosur to get them into the final, from Ayla Tomljanovic, who came back from a deficit two matches prior to get them into the semis.
Yep.
And Storm fucking Sanders really being the, I think, MVP of the team, right?
MVP of the Australian team for sure. Stormy Sanders went undefeated until the final.
Great effort.
Where she actually lost a heartbreaking three-set match to Jill Teichmann. But just before the final, I want to go back to the semis. I'm so proud of Sam Stosur. Like, I know everyone's going to be like, oh, here we go. You know, love fest on Sam. Yeah, it is going to be because, look, she hadn't played a match since the US Open, went home and was called up to the team and said, sure, okay, I'll go. You know, one of the most prolific Australian players in Billie Jean King Cup history. And so she went and wasn't sure if she was going to play a match because, you know, she hadn't really done that well over the last couple of months. And then... they lost the first doubles match with Ellen Perez. A little tough on Ellen. She just arrived from the WTA finals as an alternate, so she's going to Europe, and it was tough for her. She didn't play a great first match, even though it didn't count. And so instead of playing Ellen and Storm again in doubles, and they'd played a bunch of times prior, in the years prior, so they were a pretty established doubles team. They threw salmon in the second match, second tie, which didn't count the doubles, but it could have because they needed to win every, you know, every rubber in the ties to potentially move forward. And they won that doubles match, and then they came down to the deciding doubles match to get into the semifinal. And just an awesome effort from Sam against the Brits. She, you know, she had a couple of tough moments in the match, double folded a couple of times, and you could tell she would get a little bit tired on one or two shots. But then when push came to shove, Storm was great. Storm has been great all week. Sam was just so clutch. I mean, she had an amazing return on match point. She hit two great serves to give them match point. So I was just so proud of Sam, the way she handled herself. Won both her doubles matches, and, you know, it might be the last time she ever plays for Australia. And so I'm glad that she had that that moment that's going to just, you know, stay with her for a long time. But yeah, amazing effort from Storm. As I said, lost an unbelievably tough match against Jill Teichman. It was 2-2 in the third. She had the easiest of overheads literally on top of the net, bounced it and then hit it in the net to go up 3-2. And that point for me changed the whole complexion of the final, because she ended up losing her serve about 5 minutes later, and then that was the only break in the third set. And so sadly, because I felt Teichman was getting very tight. She lost the second set, and Storm was getting on a roll, and having not lost a match all week, you know, her confidence is sky high. And so sadly, Teichman was able to pull that one out. And then Bencic, MVP for the Swiss, she was just unbeatable
Bencic
all week.
Bencic really comes alive.
She loves playing indoors too.
Her game is really well suited for indoors. She takes everything on the rise. She's first strike tennis. But also, you put a Swiss flag on that girl's back.
Yeah.
She really gets it done.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years, she's really solidified herself as a Swiss, you know, Shiro, because she wins a gold medal at the Olympics in singles.
Cool.
She wins the...
Their first ever gold medal in Olympics. You'd think Roger Federer would have one.
In singles.
He has one in doubles, but not singles.
Not in singles.
And Linda Bencic has one for last year in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And this year, really crucial effort to get the BJK Cup and their attendant blue blazers on the backs of that Swiss team. So hands to them. Well done. What are your thoughts about the ATP final underway? We'll get to the WTA finals later. The being indoors, the Milan, the fast courts. We had a really good last stretch of the season from Felix Auger-Aliassime, my fellow Montrealer.
Yeah, unbelievable how well he's played.
He's really had a great fall, which makes me super happy, because he kind of underperformed in finals. Now it seems like he's corrected the course. He's really, really excelled. He lost a really close one the other day to Casper Ruud, my favorite oatmeal stallion. it feels like, you know.
I think, you know, you can't underestimate how tough it is to go in as one of the favorites. And he went in as one of the favorites in his first ever time at the ATP finals. That's very hard to do.
Good point.
It's a very different feeling, and people are like, what do you mean it's different? Isn't it like a regular tournament? No, not really. You've got all these different obligations that week. You feel special.
You're in all these photo shoots. You're in that top eight in the world.
It's a different feeling. It's a round robin situation. So if you lose, you're still in it. It's like a little weird. If you win, you're not guaranteed getting through the semi.
It feels like maybe it's like the Super Bowl, where like you're not at home. You're in a neutral place, and it's so sponsored, and it's so many lights and eyes on you.
It's a different feeling,
It feels like a different stage. Is that accurate, having to many of these
things? I mean, I remember my first time, and it was just like, whoa, this is, like, special and different. Yeah. And so you kind of take a little bit of getting used to it. You know, so Casper Ruud took advantage of that, I think, and Felix just wasn't really prepared. And then Taylor Fritz came out and played incredibly good tennis. But I just... You know, if there was ever going to be a time that Rafa was going to go down in the first match, that was it.
Taylor Fritz got him.
A perfect game to beat Rafa on that surface. Rafa's ball doesn't jump out of Taylor's hitting zone ever. And even when if he hits a really heavy forehand on this particular surface, it's not jumping up high. And that goes straight into the hitting zone of someone like Taylor Fritz.
Yeah.
And Taylor's forehand on an indoor court, fast court, there's no chance Rafa has, you know, he doesn't really have a chance to beat him on that surface unless Rafa plays the match of his life. And Taylor, having it been his first time at the ATP Finals, I think he went in with a different motivation because he was kind of lucky to get in because Alcaraz pulled out with the injury.
So Taylor got in
as an alternate. And then the flip side is if FAA goes in as one of the favorites, right? So you've got a favorite going in. Doesn't win his first match. And then you've got someone like Alcaraz.
Yeah.
Taylor, who gets in kind of like, well, this is a little cherry on top. And I know I can beat this guy on this particular court. And he did. He played great. Taylor's actually going to be, I think Taylor's going to be tough to beat
in
this tournament. I think actually, he has a perfect game.
It's also really interesting to see who peaks and who gets sort of their game face on for these kind of things, you know? Like some players, I think, especially if it's their first time, or maybe like Rafa, if it's your like 11D billionth time, like your emotions can kind of be all over the place.
Rafa's never played well. It's a one tournament. He's never won.
He's never done well like, at the ATP's finals.
He should be like, listen, motherfuckers.
This year, just one time.
One time. Can you give me an outdoor end of year finals? Not even clay.
Outdoor finals on clay. Forget about it.
Well, forget about it. He wins that. Like he would have won like 28. But honestly, like I feel bad for him that they haven't played one end of year ATP finals outside.
Yeah, right.
For that guy.
Agreed.
Because indoors is a completely different bear for him.
No, he's just...
His ball just doesn't jump off the court enough. No. Serve doesn't do enough with
and
the
lefty.
And that's
in a good physical condition. I mean, I think looking at Rafa this last couple of weeks, you're like, oh, I'd okay, pass. Grandpa, let's get you to bed. I mean, respectfully, because the guy's still in his like mid-30s.
I was
going to
say, Grandpa, let's just take a vacay and get ready to like crush everybody in five sets at the Australian Open when it's 100 degrees.
Yeah, take a punt on the rest of the season. Yeah. Shut it down. Get, you know.
Although I'm happy that he sounds passionate still about playing. He did mention that he might not play once he had kids.
Yeah.
So he hasn't said that, although this might be a little jarring for him. You know, losing this that's the third loss in a row that he's had. And I don't think he's had that in his career.
No, I don't think so either.
So, you know, it starts to be a bit jarring.
You said something that I want to kind of use, not that we don't have more to say maybe about the ATP finals, but the passion for the game.
Shout out to Rublev, who won an unbelievable match today against Medvedev.
That is amazing.
That was a great tennis match.
I was talking to friend of the pod, friend of racket, Dev Hines, who's a musician who I ran into a couple hours ago at the courts, and he's a most incredibly passionate tennis player. And he was talking about
shout out to Dev
Rublev play Medvedev and how you can tell sometimes when players come up together, especially like from the same country and they're in the same age cohort, they just have like some kind of like, you know, mental block.
Yep.
Against each other. I don't think Rublev has won very many matches.
No, he hasn't. I think he was 2-6.
Yeah, like it's a pretty lopsided head-to-head. And, you know, Rublev's got a fantastic game, but sometimes it's just more about the personalities and the matchups. And
he almost didn't win, too. I think he was something like 14 set points and like 5 match points.
Yep.
So in other words, all the set points he had in the first and the second and the third to win the match in the end – it finally took him like on the 15th set point and 5th match point to finally win. But it was such an incredible last few points. I mean, they were having, I think the last rally was 37 shots.
A monster
rally. It was a joke. And early in, I think the first point of the tiebreak was 38 shots. So, I mean, it was just outrageous. Yeah, 37 ball rally to win the match.
What has happened to Medvedev this year? I mean, he's in the final, so obviously he's had a good enough season to qualify for the most, you know, sort of prestigious in terms of ranking and consistency.
Hard to say.
But he just kind of hasn't had the year.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think he, you know, finally had to deal with pressure.
Yeah.
You know, being world number one and being a favorite is not easy to deal with, which is why the Novaks, Rafas and Rogers of the world and Serenas have garnered so much respect over the years.
Right.
Yes, because they win a lot and you can't help but respect that, but it's not about that. From the player's perspective, it's about, oh my god, I can't believe he won, you know, another French Open or another Wimbledon or another, you know, Australian Open. It's every time they walk on the court they're supposed to win.
Their
so every player
pressure.
Knows what that pressure feels like,
right.
Because at some point you are a favorite.
Yep.
And it could be, you know, you're 50 in the world playing against someone 200 in the world.
Or
you're supposed
to
win.
Number one seed in a little tournament.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, it's expectation.
Every player knows what it's like to have pressure on them and expectation to win.
Yep.
So every player goes, my God, they deal with that every time they play.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's unreal. So kudos to anyone who can dominate the sport because it's really, really hard to do.
Getting there is incredibly difficult. Staying there, maybe even more.
I mean,
so.
My small little sliver of like, you know, I wouldn't say dominance, but there was a couple of years where Lisa and I really didn't lose a lot of matches. And I can tell you it was the most miserable year of my life. Seriously, it was our most successful year. We won 2 slams. We won the WTA finals. We won like 7 or 8 tournaments outside of that. And that was probably the most miserable I was because there was so much pressure on us to win every match. And so I know what it feels like in the smallest of ways,
what it's
like to have the pressure on you. And I don't know how these guys do it day in and day out. And I have so much respect for them.
Well, I kind of want to end, because I need to let you go and get prepped for your show, but yep. I kind of want to end on this notion, especially as the year winds down. We'll probably have another episode, maybe two,
for
the
sure.
end of the year. But, yep. You know, one of the things that you just said about passion and, you know, when we were talking at dinner last night about, you know, Serena probably being retired.
No, probably is.
Well, sure. But my point is, like, the fact that there's even a question mark probably has to do with a little bit of a, you know.
She just got her pictures, her paintings in the National Portrait Gallery,
shout out to the National Portrait Gallery. But I think, like, you know, she has credibly been a threat for so long. She's credibly been, you know, somebody who you just absolutely can't count out, even now, although, yeah, you're probably right. Because of the passion, same thing with yeah. Rafa. Like Rafa has
you've
nothing
got
to
have passion.
But I want to contrast that with some.
Which
of
is why Ash Barty stopped playing.
Right,
the passion wasn't there anymore.
Naomi Osaka.
I'm doubting the passion has ever been there.
Yeah.
I think she had a lot of push from her father to play. I think it was probably one of the reasons why she dropped that comment about
supporting.
I wish I had parents that could. Financially support me, blah, 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 whatever it was. I can't remember verbatim, but
yeah.
I think that she's lacking that passion to get out on the court anymore. And I'm worried. I really, really worry that she's going to play again. And I hope that's not the case because, you can make a lot of money and she's made enough money to not never work a day in her life ever again. But yeah. You become very irrelevant if you're not doing the sport that you're doing.
Well, I think
at some point,
which is fine if, The thing about her, and I've said this before, like, everybody wants to see a happy, healthy player.
Absolutely.
Or if you're not going to be a happy, healthy player like Ash Barty, go play some golf tournaments and,
be happy.
Have some brews in the stands watching other sports. That's cool. It's great. It seems like Ash Barty is somebody who has learned how to take care of her
own. She didn't have passion for tennis. She has passion for other things. So therefore, she's left tennis.
Right. I think that's great and fine. And I think that's a good way to optimize. I worry with Naomi, she has so many obligations and so many brand stories that she's trying to tell, even in an era where
she's lost every identity.
It's more like, okay, you're selling me all these products all the time and you're not, and it's based on how well you've played tennis.
Yep.
And now you don't really play tennis.
Yep.
And it seems like if you have to, you're like really upset about it, which again, there's mental health stuff going on. She's talked about it. Like, I'm not trying to pile on. It's just more like, just peace out. Like, cut your ties. Like, maybe set aside some of the additional tens of millions of dollars. Go away, chill out, get a different perspective. And if you find your way back to it as a healthier, happier person, great.
But she kind of is right now. She hasn't played.
But
she's US Open.
But she's still selling me all these products all the time.
You want her to go away completely.
I want her to not look so miserable. And I think whatever that takes, even if it's setting aside a few bucks here or there, somebody's got to do it. And maybe she can't do it for herself.
Yeah,
I'm just
know.
Saying she never has to work another day in her life.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see her smiling when she's trying to sell me something and then looking like she wants to walk into traffic when she plays tennis.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want. I don't want it for her, but I also don't want it for me. It's not a good experience for anybody. Nobody wants to watch. You remember going to tournaments. I certainly do when I was a kid, like seeing the player who really didn't want to be there, regardless of how talented they were. And you're just kind of like,
I've seen a lot of them.
You've seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
And as I got better and better, I saw it a lot more. And it always made me sad. Like
parents, make sure your kid's happy doing the sport that they love.
Yeah.
Make sure, doing the sport that you love. Make sure they love it as well.
Yeah,
okay. That's really important.
That's right.
Let's finish on great effort from Iga Świątek through the whole year. Didn't win the WTA finals, but damn, she gave it her best. And Caroline Garcia, Caroline Gnau?
Allez, Caroline.
Unbelievable effort from her. Just unbeatable indoors, played unbelievable tennis.
The
incredible.
Final was pretty fun. The final between...
It was. Your favorite.
I love Arena because I just love the meatheads.
Yeah.
She's swinging for the fences. You got Caroline stepping in 10 feet, taking the ball on the rise.
Oh, God. It's like she's sabering like every point.
Yeah, it was great.
She's sabering but with a swing.
She's sabering with a swing. You got Arena swinging for the fences. Yeah. Everybody,
it's going to be interesting to see... listen, Iga's going to be the favorite for the Australian Open for sure.
For
she's
sure.
never won the tournament. She lost badly in the semis last year to Danielle Danimal, the Animal Collins.
Nice.
So we'll see how she handles it. The pressure will be different down there this year. It'll be a lot more on her shoulders as the dominant, very dominant, female player this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes, but we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to my day here, my first day on the job here at Prime Video Sports
Everybody
Talk.
Please tune in to Power Hour.
5 p.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
5 to 6 Eastern. If you're listening to us in different time zones, set your alarms. It's worth it.
Yeah, Eastern American time, my mom understands, because she seems to call me at 3 a.m. still to this day, even though I've lived in this country for half my life.
Shout out to Renee's mom.
Margaret, look at the phone.
It tells you, Margaret,
what time you can call me. Anyway, thanks for joining us today, Caitlin. Thanks for coming into the office,
Good luck,
my friend.
Nice to see you.
Let's get it going.
With a desk job. Until soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.